It's not unordinary in the oil and gas industry to where you schedule a meeting in the morning in Dallas, a meeting in the afternoon in Houston, and dinner in Midland. That does happen from time to time. And the question is, how do you get there? We'll talk about that and much more on this episode of The Crude Truth.
In 1901, at Spindletop Hill near Beaumont, the future of Texas changed dramatically as, like a fountain of fortune, thousands of barrels of oil burst from the earth towards the sky. Soon, Detroit would be cranking out Model Ts by the millions, and America was on the move, thanks to the black gold being produced in Texas. Now, more than a century later, the vehicles are different, but nothing else has truly changed. Sure, there may be many other alternative energy sources like wind and solar and electric. But let's be honest, America depends on oil and entrepreneurs. And if the USA is truly going to be independent, it has to know the crude truth.
This episode of The Crude Truth is brought to you by Complete Solids Control, Sandstone Group, Air Compressor Solutions, Basin Fluids, and the Fuel Pros.
Well, I'm just excited today. My guest is somebody that is known throughout not only the great state of Texas, but the United States and international, with an office even in Paris, France, or Paris, as some people like to say. My teaser there was talking about traveling, obviously, from one city to another. And you know what? We have to do that. And I don't know if we can get to all three cities, Houston, Dallas, and Midland, in the same day on a Southwest Airlines flight. So today, my guest is David Henry with Status Jet. David, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, Ray. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on to The Crude Truth. I'm so excited to have you on. You know, I feel like this episode is a little cliche in a way because, you know, here it is, you know, they always talk about big oil and, you know, Pecos Country Operating. We're a small family oil and gas company, but there's a lot of larger family companies out there. And let's not, you know, forget to mention all the publicly traded companies out there that have jets, and they truly do fly from meeting to meeting on a daily basis. And, you know, so that's why I wanted to invite you on today to talk about what great things you guys are doing over at Status Jet and hear about everything going on.
Sure. The oil and gas business is obviously a big part of our portfolio of customers.
Yeah.
And you know, there's always a myth on people that have private jets. It's like, oh, it's for the wealthy and the famous. And there is some of that, but, you know, people forget this is a business tool.
Yeah.
Like you said the other day, you know, there's 500 airports in North America. That's really it, that are served by public commercial airlines.
Okay.
The other 8,000 are private.
8,000?
So if you start doing the math and go, I want to go from here to here, you mentioned, you know, go Dallas to Houston and then to Midland for dinner. I mean, you could do that on an airline, but you're probably not going to be able to do that. And then you get to the time value of money. It's like, you know, if you got to get there before the other guy gets there, the private is the way to go. So it's not just the rich and famous. It's a lot of people use it as a business tool.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does. And that I'm glad you did say it is a tool, you know, and in the oil and gas industry, we have to use our tools, you know, to make our tools work for us. But tell us about Status Jet and about yourself, David.
Sure. So, I'm kind of boring, but I'll tell you about Status Jet.
I don't think you're that boring.
We've been in business, you know, since 2014. I've been in aviation longer than that. I spent a lot of my life in the radio business. We talked earlier about that.
Yeah.
But we've really put together a great team. And, you know, we are a 24/7 on-demand charter company. So you can call us up anywhere, anytime. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't own the aircraft. We've got relationships all around the world.
Okay.
We're like, you know, for example, we work with several universities. We're the official private jet partner for SMU.
Oh.
SMU Athletics. We also work with the United States government. We're an approved vendor with them. That's not easy if you've ever dealt with our government. But most of our clients are like yourselves, you know, business people. We fly a few celebrities here and there, but we provide on-demand service. We do have some jet membership programs, mostly like a debit card type program.
Okay.
We also buy and sell aircraft for people.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, you talk about the government and here, you know, obviously with regulations and things like that for us. Yeah. So working with the government's never easy. I bet there's some fun stories there. I don't know. I mean, have you ever, do you know of any, like, how do you say it? Quiet, undisclosed airports that you had to land, that you guys
landed to? So we've actually flown a couple satellites, believe it or not. Like the top end of these satellites are like cameras.
Okay.
So, you know, the Air Force, if it's like a top secret thing, they're going to do that themselves.
Ah.
But some of these companies, if it's something like that, and now there might be armed Air Force security on that flight.
Yeah.
And they want to know, you know, everybody that's connected to that airplane. But so those are some of the kind of things we've done with the government.
Wow, that is cool. I mean,
mostly fly people. One time we flew a dog by itself.
No way. That is one special dog.
It was a very special dog. It had to go. It had some health issues.
Okay.
I think it was okay. But we picked the dog up at College Station in a Citation 10. And then we flew it to, I think it was the Ohio State University had another vet program. Okay. But it was just the dog. And it was no the owners or anybody. It was kind of strange. That's an expensive trip for Pooch.
I think that one may get to where it's the rich and famous.
Yeah. That would probably be in the rich and famous part.
I think, you know, I've got a chocolate lab, and she's out in East Texas right now getting training. And I drive to go pick her
up. I wouldn't put my dog on a bus.
We have an 8-pound Shorkie. His name's Bucky Bear, and he stays in the car. But I'm old school. It's in the back of the truck,
But we're talking about pets. It's a big trigger for private, believe it or not. Not by themselves, but whenever we see, like, we do a lot of internet marketing things and get a lot of referral. But whenever we see someone that has to move a pet, they don't want little Fluffy down in the baggage compartment.
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of the airlines now have really restricted bringing dogs on planes.
Okay.
So it really is a trigger for people flying private, believe it or not.
You know, let's talk about that. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, what are people looking for? Like, what are some of the questions that that people ask you when they want to come fly private with Status J?
Sure. That's a great question. So the number one thing is safety.
Okay.
So before we, you know, we vet every operator that we deal with. So we meet or exceed all the FAA requirements. Aviation is very safe.
Right.
And the reason it's very safe is the amount of inspections that have to be done. You can't trick that. So for example, if you buy a car and you want to drive that car into the ground and put 20,000 miles a year on it, never change the oil, never get it inspected, bald tires, you can do that until you get caught.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
You can drive without a driver's license.
Yeah.
You can drive without insurance, which I don't recommend. It's how you get caught. In the aircraft world, it's very regulated.
Okay.
So many hours, a plane has to be inspected thoroughly, taken apart. That's why aviation is so safe. So we talk about safety, maybe not that in depth.
Yes.
But we vet and make sure that the people that we are using, I wouldn't put you on an airplane that I wouldn't put my family on.
Okay.
So we do all that for you. And that's number one. Number two is, you know, what kind of plane gets me from point A to point B? Do I have to stop for fuel?
Yeah.
You know, most people don't want to do that. So if you're just flying from Dallas to Oklahoma City, we could put you on a little Pilatus, a King Air, maybe a little Phenom 100. Just depends on the mission, how many people, and how many bags.
Oh, wow.
Those are really the questions that they ask us.
Okay. It's like, you know.
And, of course, how much it costs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is. And every trip is different as far as that cost goes. And, you know, and really, I guess it really depends on how many people you put on a flight. And you can split it up that way if you got to.
Well, that's the biggest thing. You know, you don't. So if you've got eight guys that want to go play Banded Dunes up in Oregon on a golf trip, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to. You know, if you take a certain airplane, you got to go, okay, you got eight guys, eight bags, and eight golf clubs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that you have to really look at all that because a lot of planes aren't going to be able to hold that unless you put them on a bigger Gulfstream or something like that.
Right.
So in those cases, we take a hard look and say, okay, here's your option. Here's a Super Mid G200, a Gulfstream 200.
Yeah.
It'll hold all that.
Yeah.
Well, here's one that might be a little bit less, but you're going to have to ship the clubs through Shipsticks or something like that.
Right. And then
we help do all that. So.
Good. But the other side of the coin is like, then if I'm shipping, you know, then what does that cost to ship versus getting the bigger plane where right. you just all go together? I right. mean, that's a very good point. And then also, I know that I asked you for a video so to kind of show what your planes look like and all that.
Sure.
And I'd like to show that real quick here to the audience and to people out there. Oh man! Shout out now. That guy, he works with you.
Yeah, Bo, right? Bo is one of our top sales representatives.
I love it. Was that gold in that sink?
it looks like gold. That's actually a real plane. Obviously, that's a Citation 10.
Okay,
which is a super mid. It's one of the fastest business jets.
Really?
In the world.
And how many people could stay on that? Eight. Okay,
Eight.
On
a Citation. It's a very popular 10. Plane because. If you're going across the country,
yeah,
from like LA to New York or vice versa, that plane will make it nonstop.
Really?
Where if you run a midsize like a Lear 60 or a Hawker 800, mm-hmm. it would most likely require a fuel stop. So the great thing about being in Dallas,
yeah,
you can hit both coasts pretty easily on midsize jets like a Lear 60s.
That's true.
So because we're in the middle of the country,
yes, but we are.
You start flying across, you know, it takes a bigger plane and a lot more. Fuel.
Okay. Well, obviously, and speaking of fuel, let's tie in here with the crude truth a little bit. You know, how are you guys waving this? I'll call it a storm of these higher prices, not only on fuel but everything else that's going up right now in the industry as far as aircraft.
It is the single biggest expense of an airplane, right?
Right.
You have the cost to buy it, but it to run it is fuel,
right?
And you know, you can see it at your own pump.
Yeah.
You know, it's up.
Yeah.
So you're seeing charter flights up 25-28%.
Wow.
Across the board. Mm-hmm. And that's everywhere. That's just anywhere in the world. So, you know, it has driven costs to a much higher a level, but you know, there's still great opportunities and deals out there. And then, you know, the operators that we use do a good job with the fuel prices, but it's a big factor.
Okay.
It is a big factor.
And, you know, you mentioned that y'all are trying to, and what is it exactly? Because you just mentioned, hey, it's up 28%. And obviously that means it's going to be right there for the commercial jets as well, that their prices are up.
The airlines are having the same issue. And, you know, mm-hmm. airlines, I'm in aviation, but I'm not on the airline side. But
right.
I can tell you over time, airlines kind of break even. And fuel's always the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
You know, fuel's going to go up.
Yeah.
Fuel's going to go down. It's always the biggest challenge is how do you price?
Yeah.
So, and we fluctuate. It fuels up. I mean, it moves, but we're still getting a lot of, you know, I think very aggressive, good deals out there.
Well, and you mentioned international a second ago, and I mentioned that y'all have an office in Paris, France.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all also do international flights.
Sure.
And so I would want to let everybody know out there that, hey, man, if they want to go to, you know, the running of the bulls in Spain or, you know, I don't know if Brazil's still a hot spot anymore with everything going on over there. But
it is. You know, a lot of people like to hunt down there. We do some hunting trips to, you know, Argentina and those places, but
yeah,
people love the bird hunt down there. But like, for example, Europe, we have some clients that are based over there that we fly within Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of clients, let's say you go from New York or Dallas and you're going to fly first class to London.
Yeah.
We can pick them up on a private jet and then hop around to Monaco and different places.
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
Now, you know, one question I do have also is, you mentioned that you've got your operators that I guess they own the airplanes and then y'all somehow, but do y'all sell airplanes as well?
Sure. So right now we're working on a Gulfstream 550 and a few others.
Yeah.
So that's the fun part of this business. I love finding airplanes for people. So, you know, it's actually a very simple process. You know, if you were looking to buy an airplane, mm-hmm. I always use my salt and pepper, imaginary salt and pepper shaker.
Okay.
So like if we're at lunch, I'll say, the salt is the price to buy the airplanes. Let's just put that over here.
Okay.
Let's talk about the pepper.
All right.
The pepper is what it costs to have the airplane.
Yeah.
And those are two different deals.
Absolutely.
So rule of thumb, if you fly excess of 250 hours a year,
yeah,
ownership makes a lot of sense to have your own equipment, your own airplane, your own pilots. It makes a lot of sense to have that. If you're only flying 50 to 75 hours a year, you're probably better off calling a company like ours. You can certainly move up into the NetJets world, the fractional world.
Okay.
But aircraft sales are just like car sales right now. It's hard to find them. COVID kind of put the paddles on this business and pushed a lot of people into the charter and ownership market because of the airlines are having problems. They're having still problems getting enough pilots. They're having issues canceling flights. Wait till this Christmas and Thanksgiving come up. It's going to happen again.
That's right.
And so we're seeing a lot of people move into private aviation across the board for that reason. They want a little more control over their time. Because, an airplane is a time machine. It allows you to get from point A to point B without relying on a scheduled service.
Let's talk about that, because you said it's a time machine. What's the process for someone that is thinking about it? Because, you just said that 250 hours or more. Okay, right? And, mm-hmm. So that's literally 10 full days a year, 24 hours in a day. That's only 10 days, like a full. And again, I know it's 250 hours. But that means there's a lot of individuals out there that could really seriously take a look at owning their own aircraft. And again, I'm not trying to compare because I know it's not apples to apples. But when you mentioned, hey, this is how much it costs and this is how much to operate, and anything, whether it's oil and gas. And the other thing that comes to mind for me is I like to go fishing a lot. So it's like, this is how much the boat costs me. Right. But then to same thing, put the gas in it, maintenance it and all that. And so that's then where those costs that go into it. So back to my deal, 250 hours and a time machine. Okay. How much time can somebody save by calling you up saying, hey, I need to get to Midland for a meeting, or hey, I've got to go visit President Biden and really hash out this, we're going to drill, baby, drill. So how much time and what would it look like, the difference between going commercial than flying private with you guys?
I'll give you a great example. I told you we're involved with SMU, so I'm on the board of the SMU Duke Walker Awards.
Okay.
So we had Eli Manning fly in last week and spoke at the luncheon.
Okay.
And he was already here on something else, but we flew him back to the New York area.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start getting high profile people, two reasons. One, the time. We took him right to the airport, right to Dallas Love Field. He literally got out of his car, walked on the plane, and boom, took off in 10 minutes.
Okay.
You can't do that on a commercial.
No.
And then there are some people that, he's a great guy, but you don't want people in an airplane talking to you, or let's say you're on a business trip. You're trying to close a really important deal and you're flying up to Montana or something. Sometimes you don't want other people to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you can actually block tail numbers. We've had clients request that so they can't see where you're going. Because if I'm your competitor and I see that you've got a plane and you're heading over here, like, what are you doing over there?
Wow. So
there's some tricky stuff.
There's tricky stuff, and I'm sure that there's some of that going on. And I can't imagine, people know me, we're a small company, but I could definitely see that happening with some of these bigger family companies, because you don't want to know all the time, where you're going or where you're
new leasing. Just to follow up on that question you asked, the process to buy an airplane is we simply sit down with you and do a needs analysis. Just say, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What are your trips going to look like? And my advice to anyone that's looking at an aircraft is buy something that fits 80% of what you need.
Okay.
Don't buy a bigger plane because once in a while you want to fly to Europe.
Yeah.
Because you're going to spend so much money operating it day to day for your regular stuff. You might be better off buying something that fits that mission and then chartering a bigger plane once every 2 years when you want to go on a trip.
Uh-huh.
So those are the kind of things that we help. And we put the right financing people together, tax people together, legal people together, We don't give that advice, but we have people that do that.
Whoa, that's a lot.
You have to.
I mean, the fact that you got to get, you know, financing, I understand that, but to get legal involved and tax involved.
Yeah, like depreciating equipment probably in the oil business, which, you know, I'm not
with
like you are, but it works similar in the airplane business. It's an asset. So there's 5 years MACRS, 7 years MACRS depreciation. So, you know, we've got people in our system that we trust to help guide them through that. Because like you said, everybody's different.
Yeah.
Every deal's different and every situation's different.
You're absolutely right. It is an asset, and then you mentioned that, you know, you're just able to walk right on like the video saw, and, you know, it's like, he's like, hey, grab my bag, I'm on and I'm off.
Literally, you call us up 24/7. It's not uncommon to book a, you know, a last minute trip within 2 hours.
Really?
You know, we always would like a little more notice, but we can move that quickly.
Okay.
If the plane's available, depending where you are, you know, when we look at the charter market, this is one of the reasons you want to use us or someone like us.
Yeah.
We don't have a dog in the hunt. We don't have a stable over here of airplanes and a hangar that we're pushing.
Right.
We go out in the marketplace, and let's say you want to go from Cleveland back to Dallas. American canceled your flight. You've got a really big meeting here this afternoon. You've got to get here.
Yeah.
Well, there's people that have planes up in Cleveland that we know.
Yeah.
But there's also a whole nother group of people that fly these things around the country for charter. So we know who they are. We might just drop it into Cleveland, pick you up, take you back to Dallas.
Wow.
So we can usually move pretty quickly.
That I know. And you talk about moving quickly. I think about one time I had to fly from DFW, which is, you know, the international airport here in Dallas-Fort Worth, to Austin. And I really kicked myself going, am I really flying? Because it's a 3-hour drive.
Yeah, sometimes I'm better off driving.
Right. And then sometimes, even though it's a 25-minute flying.
Yeah.
And then same thing with San Antonio. You know, it's a 5-hour drive, or 4.5 nowadays, but, you know, just 5-hour drive. But it's a 45-minute flight, but you got to be at the airport. They recommend 2 hours beforehand. And, you know, and so flying private charter with you guys, would that – takes it to a whole different ball game again, to where you walk on, okay, I can actually be there hypothetically. It's like,
well, hey, you now control your time.
Yeah.
Now you control your time, and you pay for that. You know, that's part of the experience. You pay for that.
And you know what? That right there, I think that's my hook. The crude truth today is that when you go charter or private, you actually control your time. You're on your schedule, because time is something we can never get back, obviously.
Absolutely. One oil example I'll give you. We flew a drill bit one time.
No way.
I forgot the company. They were down and off the Gulf in Houston.
Yeah.
And I guess they had a rig go down. And I don't know a lot about your business other than the oil comes out of the ground, right?
Right.
And drill, baby, drill. Is that it? But they couldn't. They had to get it to Houston. And we literally picked it up on a Learjet at midnight in New York. I guess it came off a ship or somewhere, and we flew it down to Houston, and they got a helicopter. We got the helicopter, flew it out to the rig. Oh,
wow.
But if you think about it, they were happy to pay because they couldn't ship it FedEx. They didn't have time.
No, the time's not there.
The rig's down. So
the rig is down.
I don't know what that costs today, but it's got to be a very big number.
Well, if it was an offshore rig, some of those cost $1 million a day.
Go. So a private charter flight was cheap.
Yes.
Compared to the downtime of that rig.
Thanks for that example. Yeah, no, that's a very good example, because
I gave you a dog.
I know.
And I gave you a drill bit.
Golly.
Pretty good.
Man, I know. See, to me, I'm thinking like drill bit. I'll do a drill bit. Hey, if I need to get that thing, you know, because again, it's still sitting there costing those men to twiddle their thumbs and do that, you know. So it's like, get that drill bit here.
And they probably exhausted every other way to get that there.
Oh, but sure. Yeah.
They were out of options, and they called us, and we said, yeah, we can do that.
Oh my!
I think we took about 2 hours to get the crew, get the plane, and fly it out of there.
So
4 hours later, they had their drill bit, or what do you call that thing?
That's a drill bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. 4 hour turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
That is big. That means that's not even half a day.
Yeah.
That you're not down. You're not down half a day. That's awesome.
And most of our clients plan out about really it's 2-3 weeks. It's not commercial where you plan out like a year from now or something. A lot of it's kind of, well, I don't want to say last minute, but a lot of it's 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out, a week out. That's normal in private aviation. Okay. So it's a little different than commercial.
Well, let me ask you this. And I guess for people out there also, you mentioned there's 500 public and there's 8,000 smaller private.
Yeah, smaller strips.
Smaller strips. So where do y'all fly to? I mean, if you could, it sounds like you'll fly.
I can tell you where we don't fly.
All right. Well, yeah. Where do you not
fly? We don't fly to any war country.
Okay.
We don't go to North Korea. We don't go to Venezuela because of the issues.
Okay.
Outside of that, we can pretty much fly anywhere.
Miami, Las Vegas, New York, obviously. Yeah. You mentioned
so typically
the
when you, like Miami's a good example, there's multiple airports.
Yeah.
So typically when we fly into an LA or Miami or even a Dallas or Houston, we try to find the airport that's closest to where you're trying to go. Because the you don't necessarily want to fly into the international airports because the landing fees are higher, fuel's usually higher. And it's just congested.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they'll give the big airlines priority. Like if they're going overseas, they'll let those flights go. So
okay,
we know that. So we pick, you know, Love Field instead of DFW. We pick Van Nuys in Los Angeles instead of LAX.
Yeah.
Unless you specifically want to go there. So.
But that goes back to the time. It's like, hey, if I can put you closer to where you need to be, that's going to save you.
Especially out in Los Angeles. You know, we think we have bad traffic in Dallas. But out there, it's critical. Yeah. And they have, you know, you want to go to Orange County? Do you want to stay up north? Do you want to? So, and a lot of times the clients will know that. But if they don't, we'll help them say, tell me where you're going, where you're going to need to be.
Yeah.
And then we can provide, you know, car service, catering, everything.
Everything. And then you mentioned, you know, how the traffic is in LA and New York. It's not uncommon to see helicopters on a daily, almost just going, I call it building hopping, but just going from place
to place. But even like to Martha's Vineyard and some of those places, we've flown people into the New York area. We've taken people that have gotten off commercial flights, put them on a helicopter. Very common, really, in, like you said, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. We actually fly some universities around for recruiting, like SMU and some other ones that we work with. I don't want to say everybody because
I understand
who's listening to this. But But we'll do some high school Friday night games and fly the coach around to different high schools, and they tweet about it and get all excited. So it's kind of fun.
Oh my gosh! Well, you mentioned earlier that the holiday season is upon us, and that for individuals out there that know they're going to be flying, and they listen today going, hey, this is probably something that we can do. How would they contact you and your team?
Oh, the easiest way would just go to statusjet.com.
Okay.
On there is phone numbers. It's very app friendly on the thing.
Okay.
But it's just, you know, www.statusjet.com.
Yeah.
And you can fill out a form right there. Our phone number's on there. I'm David Henry. You can ask me personally, but you probably want one of my team members. They'll probably do a little better job.
Well, Bo looks like the guy.
Bo does a great job. Yeah, Philip, there's a lot of them. Molly, we got a lot of good people there.
Yeah.
So I would, and we can help plan it. We're taking a group next week. It's a 30-passenger jet. We took them once already to Disney World, their whole family and cousins. And now we're flying them to a wedding. So we can do all size airplanes, by the way. We've flown 777s. Chartered 767s.
Wow.
A lot of it's just, you know, your private jets, but that's a big part. We fly basketball teams.
Okay.
SMU men's and women's around, a few other schools.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were, I mean.
I'll charter a blimp if I can find one. I'm kidding.
I was about to say, challenge accepted. I will figure that one out. You know, I'll put the Crew Truth on it.
And put the whole logo.
And I'll go, hey, you did it.
That would be the Crew Truth.
Well, David, I cannot thank you enough for coming today to talk about the great benefits, really, chartering or even owning a plane. And I think, again, I want to say to me, you know, 250 hours, if somebody's out there and they're at the airport, or more importantly, if you're flying for 250 hours or more a year, just think how many hours you're sitting at the airport on top of that. So really reach out to David there at Status Jet and see what he can do for you and your family or your team.
And, well, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you so much, David. Well, that's it for this episode of The Crude Truth. We'll see you here next time.
This episode of The Crude Truth is brought to you by Complete Solids Control, Sandstone Group, Air Compressor Solutions, Basin Fluids and the Fuel Pros, and Real News Communication Network.
The easiest way to start your own podcast and TV show? Real News Communications Network. Stand out from your competition. Produce streams of high-quality social media content. Become a thought leader in your industry. With RNCN, you get to be the host. We handle everything else. Tour one of our three locations in Dallas, Fort Worth, and the Colony. Call 972-402-6333 or visit launchashow.com to find out more.